Would take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Acts 3. Blessed with a wondrous book that we hold before us this morning. For most of you, you brought your Bibles. For those of you who are not in the on a regular basis, told ahead of time in the past that says. And so I direct your attention to Isaiah 53. Now, Isaiah is a wonderful book. Our Sunday school class and the adult auditorium Bible class, they went through the book of Isaiah and just really camped there and rejoiced. And if you know how many books of the Bible there are. And what is further very fascinating is of the 66 chapters, 39 of them deal with the law and with judgment and difficulty. And then the last 27 deal with comforting my people. And then it talks about grace and Christ and the coming of the king and Messiahship. And that is just like the New Testament, Old Testament survivors, 39 chapters of law and judgment and 27 chapters of grace. And it's pretty cool. God is not making this stuff haphazardly up with do a thing that the world would stagger at. And that thing may have been awesome being that we got the Word of God, but the most when we look at chapter 53, what we really do is we see the apex of his reveling in Jesus. It is Isaiah 53 that is quoted in the book of Acts to the Ethiopian eunuch who is reading it, and Philip taking this text Jesus 53. But what happens is often when we go to Isaiah 53, down to verses, talks about embarrassment, how he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the gospel content is. But this morning, I want our attention to fall back a little bit into verses 1, 2, and 3. For the Bible says, who hath believed? Lord revealed. For he shall grow and is a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was grieved and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Now what I want you to see in the passage this morning, and I've entitled the message in Teachings and Revelation. First one, who hath believed our report? Rumor in the sense that it's something that people will ruminate upon. The funny thing about a rumor is that it is not idle nor stagnant. Rumors tend to pick up speed as they go along. So is the case here. Rumor, our report, for he finds himself in the ahead of time that one would come forth. And when you see those wise men, those Chaldeans, King of the Jews, call forth those scholars in the and he says, "Where their God. And they knew that he would come forth from Bethlehem. And it was then that we see Rachel weeping for her children because they were no more, for Herod sent forth to have them slain from and under to make sure he got the Christ child, the king that would threaten his own reign. Folks, we have a book that is awesome. It is, in fact, prophetic. And there are prophecy after prophecy after prophecy in the scriptures that tell us that we are on the right track. And when you come to this season, don't let it go by. Stuff that the accoutrements and you don't miss the Christ child. Don't miss the Lord Jesus. He says in verse 1, who hath believed our report? And what he's really doing is he's casting out a thought that occurs to him as he gives a fuller sermon, which began back in chapter 52. In chapter 52, I'm going to hit some highlights. If you let your eye fan through the chapter, you may find them. I will not reference them for you. You can find them if you let your eye fall. But I'm going to give you little highlights through the chapter. It says, awake, awake, put on thy... You have sold yourselves for nothing, and you have been, and you shall be ruined without money. My people shall... For they shall know in that day that I am he that thus speaks. Behold, beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of men. Peace, and that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith in unto Zion. Bear holy arm in the eyes of all nations. And all the ends of the earth. Servant shall deal prudently and be very high. And as many were astonished, more than any man, form more than the sons of men, so shall he sprinkle many nations. And the kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them, they shall see, and that which they had not heard, they shall consider. Who hath believed our report? It didn't make sense on the surface that if there was a God in heaven, a creator over all things, that he would somehow more than he knew. That he would be able to say one day before all people, that he would be able to have it proclaimed, thy God reigns. That he would come and be here. Our prophecies are not just of a manger, not born, but they are of a king who reigns, a one who is exalted. The theme of Isaiah's thought in 52 and 53, he is saying Christ will be exalted. He is saying that he will find his place of prominence. At the end of chapter 50, it says that God will divide great, verse 12. It says in chapter 52 that he will be exalted, his righteous servant. The arm of the Lord reveals what we see in the passages. Now what I want you to see about the words in those first sentence, that first question, is who has... He comes and he says, who has perfectly believed it? The perfect tense says that it means somebody who fully got it. Now, we come to church, we want to know more, we want to grow more, but really, really, if we believe at the core, if we really believe the fullness, if we really believe that the people's lives depended on it, it would change us, it would still change us, and God ordains that it changes us. The reason I take this to prophecy this morning is because I want you to see it was foretold. But it came off with pinpoint accuracy that he was born as it was spoken of in the prophet. You and I have a faith that cannot be shaken because the word of God forever is settled in heaven. He passed away as the Lord said. And I want you to know you can trust him. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and the only way you and I will ever do exploits for Jesus Christ is if we believe this stuff for us. And the folly is hard for us. Who has believed? And the reason people don't believe oftentimes is because they don't want to believe that it would be this way. Somebody has well said that the Word of God is a book that man would not have written if he could have. And it is also a book that man could not have written if he would have. He couldn't have written the prophecies, and he wouldn't have written the sins and the idiosyncrasies. He would not have ordained or framed a pattern. Could come and it would be God in human form, and he could be naked, free, and die, and rise again the third day. Man would have never conjured such lofty thought of a God who could create everything you and I look at and see and understand to be in this place. This room is glamorous. It is full of music. It is full of conversation. It can be depended on. If we had the right receiver, whether it be a radio or a cell phone or something like that, we could key in and we couldn't hear ourselves think. But this room is full of God set some things in order that were absolutely there and men depend upon them. We are almost kept away from the sun and we're guides to make the elements to call for serving the new heaven and the new earth he created. Our God is on the throne, and he came, and he lived, and he died, but he came in such a humble way. Who would believe it? Certainly the Jews wouldn't want to believe it, because they wanted a king who would come and make them powerful. For he promises them, he says, you sold yourselves for nothing, you will be redeemed without money. He says, I am going to put rain one day. But you got take things into my own hands. They've been out there. They've been circulated. So much so that in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, we find in the Tower of Babel the very seeds that have been kind of perverted in the movements of Nimrod and Semiramis and Temuz, where Semiramis was a queen in her day, and she went out and she said, you know, in scriptures as time has unfolded, and we look. In as much awe as those angels were. And you can imagine, the Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God would they couldn't fly with two wings, cover their feet with two wings of the six. And they would say, day in and day out, and still say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. See, what we see is we have Isaiah staggered even by what he was saying. He staggers and he says, who will even believe? It's almost too much to take in. The Bible says in this passage in verse 1, who hath believed our report? And it is in verse 2 that he picks up the first half of our meditation. Verse 2 it says, for he shall grow up before him as a kingdom. What's that all about? He's talking about Messiah growing up. How can you grow up? Well, the Bible tells us how now. We can look in hindsight and understand these words that are so profound. It says he shall grow up. The Bible says he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. And that he would grow up before him, before the Father. And literally the words are in his face, as it were, face to face with the Father. When nobody else would believe in Christ and his deity, the Father always was right there, watching, joying, and beholding his progress, and facilitating his protection by telling Joseph in a dream, you need to go to Egypt, because there's a man who seeks his life. And a man, and in a dream, saying, you can come back now. Over and over again, God was right on task. The Father was watching, joying, beholding his Son. And he was watching out for, he shall grow up before him. face to face with him. It answers the first chapter of the book of John where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When it says was with God, it literally means face to face. And all through the scriptures, it's been told us that he would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting God. We serve a king who came, a God who left his throne, laid aside the insignia of his majesty, and he came down here and he wrapped himself in human, humble flesh, and he lived on this earth. And if you'd have looked at him, there wouldn't have been radiant beams from his holy face as we sing in such a nostalgic way. He looked just as common and just as humble and just as vulnerable as you and me. He didn't try to put on any pomp and circumstance because he wasn't appealing to you. He was appealing to your heart. He was trying to show you that he loved you so much that he would go where you've been. He would understand what you've experienced. He would feel what you felt. He would know how hard it was to be in humble circumstances. It says that he grew up and he says, well, the idea could even go to the point of being a nursing child. And that's what it's talking about. He would come along and he would be, as it were, a missing child. But such is the way that the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament, has translated this word. The idea of him being a missing baby. Somebody has said that the book of Isaiah is the fifth gospel because